Okay, this is the tip snap. Ready? Set. And here we go. Calling the Tri-City Tips Net. Calling the Tri-City Tips Net. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located at Eastern Point Beach in the city of Groton, and I'm mobile. I'll be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is the 146.97, also with PL tone of 156.7 Hz. That would be the Waterford repeater. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as experienced amateurs. The purpose of this net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. The tips net is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins. And when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list of questions and comments. During the check-in, please state if you have questions for the net. We'll ask for your questions after everyone has been checked in. Let me reset the repeater. There are three sections to the tips net. The first one is the one we've been talking about, the open net with rounds of questions and comments. The second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. In the third section, there is an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is..." Release the mic button, like I just did, and listen to ensure no one else has called at the same time you have. Then slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location, and if you have a comment or question. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, and I am in the city of Groton. We will start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Kilo Alpha 6 Papa Delta Golf. My name is Kevin. I'm in Norwich. Don't have any questions. Maybe one or two topic ideas.
This is?
Here he is.
Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango, Dave and Preston. No questions at this time.
There he is.
Kilo 0, Juliet Echo Bravo, Josh and Groton. No questions at this time.
Here is
Steve.
November, Kilo 1 Victor. Steve, Coventry. I have one question on a product.
Okay, net recognizes Kevin, KA6PDG, Dave, KC1DCT, Josh, K0JEB, and Steve, NK1B, who has a question about on a product. Further stations that would like to check in, please call now. Okay, Steve, why don't we lead off with your question about a product in K1V. This is Net Control, KC1TWR. Okay, very good, Steve. I think we're going to jump around just a little bit at the start of the net tonight, because I know that Josh does have one, and I'd like to let him answer and then make sure you got part of what you needed, and then we'll start at the top and go down for further comments. So, Josh, would you like to venture an opinion on the ICOM 7100?
K0JB, let's see. I don't know where to start. There's nothing about the radio that I don't like, other than it's a monochrome display. The 7300 has more bells and whistles HF-wise and has a color display with a waterfall. The 7100 does not have the waterfall feature, although it does have a, I'm not sure what you would call it, similar to a waterfall where you press a button and it takes a snapshot of the band within 25 KCs, I believe, and shows you where the signals may be. I think you can adjust it up to even 500 KCs wide. The HF, I think, works phenomenal. It has filters, and it also, you're able to use an SD card to record, transmit, and receive audio. You can also do a lot of digital modes on the computer via the USB interface. Let me reset the repeater real quick. Able to do 70 centimeters VHF, no problems there. You can either program it using software on the computer and or manually on the remote head. It does not have a built-in antenna tuner. However, it does have the controls for either the AH4 antenna tuner, which ICOM sells, or in my case, it works very well with the 939 MFJ IntelliTuner. And, you know, maybe after the net, if you have any specific questions, I could go into more detail depending on what kind of information you're looking for. But as far as the unit, it's considered a mobile rig. However, I use it with a power supply here on the desk, and worked very well for the museum ships weekend, I believe. And I've got a lot of compliments from a couple operators that had a chance to use it over the weekend. And that's about all I have. KC1TWR is K0JB.
Thank you, Josh. That sounded like a pretty fledged out view. Back to you, Steve. NK1V, this is Net Control, KC1TWR.
NK1V. Yeah, thanks, Josh. I actually appreciate your opinion, because I know that you are very, you know, you like to really indulge into things and really take them apart. I said, nope, nothing, anything came up. Yeah,
I almost assumed that the HF was going to be pretty decent, and like I said, I've been using a 706, MK2G, and so the tuner's not a problem because the same LGD tuner that I use for that will seamlessly plug right in, and those work very well. And I do plan on doing, one of the reasons is I don't want to carry a separate VHF rig. The problem with the 706 is it only has 20, barely has 20 watts VHF, although it does function and it does quite a bit, but it's, there's not much there. I'm not a big, don't do a lot with UHF, so that's not too much of a concern. So yeah, good, I appreciate it. I think if there's nothing alarming, it seems like it would be the way to go. I'm not a, I played around a little bit with the Yaesu's 911, A or no A, it doesn't really matter. I don't need all the, I mean, I have a nice, beautiful 756 Pro here with the scope and all that kind of stuff for at home. I'm definitely looking for something for the road, you know, for, field day type activities and stuff. Let me reset. So, simpler, better, you know, I don't want a lot of, too many bells and whistles, and it looked like the, some of the videos I've watched, it's pretty easy to operate and stuff, and that's what I'm looking for. So, thank you. NK1D, back to net.
Oh, very good, Steve. Sounds like you got some of the questions answered, what have you. Okay, we're going to run around to the top of the list. I do want to make a comment that during the Museum Ships weekend, we had two, with the antennas we were using, we had a G5RV, and we had a Cushcraft R4, and a Cushcraft ATV-3. And the ATV-3, the radials from that were stretched out both on the ground and left and right on top of a fence. So it had very good setup there, and was probably the best antenna, I think, out of all of them that were used during the event. But that seemed to do very well. But let's go on down to Kevin between the 7100 and Cushcraft stuff and see, Kevin, you mentioned you also had some things you were thinking about for topic of conversation. So I'll toss the ball over to you, virtually speaking. K6BDG, this is TipsNet Control, KC1TWR.
Well, good evening, Tim and the net. Wouldn't be the first time I've fumbled. let's see, you dropped your voice there, Tim, and I'm not sure which antenna it was that you said seemed to be the best performer. And I think from what you said, you had two verticals and then the G5RV. So I was curious about that. I thought that the, from my observation, which was limited, I was only hanging around there for probably about 45 minutes or so, but seemed like all the antennas worked real well. I was very grateful to Josh for letting me operate his station, and I'll get back to a comment about the 7100, which I virtually know almost nothing about. But of course, I know there was some problem with the proximity of the antennas, I guess. Maybe a lack of filtering at the setup might be a fair thing to say, I don't know. But that is one of the things I thought about as a discussion point, is when you're setting up either a field day site or a QSO or a special event station or a contest station where you're going to have several HF transmitters on the air, what are some of the pitfalls as far as the stations interfering with each other? And it seems to me that verticals, as I think somebody said once, in a book or something, that verticals are more prone to that than dipole-type antennas or inverted Vs or flippers, and I don't know if my memory is correct on that. But I thought the antennas down there at the Nautilus worked very well. Seemed like the signal reports we were getting on Josh's station were very good. There was, I noticed a lot of stations said we had some QSB. Now, that can always be due to band conditions. And again, I thought I heard somewhere that verticals are more prone to QSB, but I don't know if that's a receive or a transmit feature. So that was sort of half of what I was thinking of. Let me go to the 7100 for a quick second. And Josh really had to pretty much drive the rig for me because of not having eyesight, and it's very menu intensive, as a lot of rigs are, I guess. It's the same with audio equipment, actually. I have to really struggle to find audio recorders that are not so menu intensive that I can't use them. One thing I was going to comment on, I thought Josh's rig sounded like a really high-performing unit, and I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about the 7100. I did notice, or I do reflect, that there were two tuning speeds, and one was extremely slow, and the other was so fast that it was really hard to even tune in on a QSO, and I have to wonder if maybe there's an intermediate speed that, you know, Josh was trying to keep it simple for me, because you have to do that when you're dealing with me. But maybe there was an intermediate tuning speed. He was the one that would have to switch them for me back and forth. I don't think there's any, well, I don't know whether there's any voice guidance for that radio. If someone had a visual impairment or whatever and was thinking of getting that radio, you'd have to check and see if there's voice guidance. And then the question is, how good is that voice guidance? I've said a few million words. Let's see. Why don't I be polite? I'll save my my other idea for the next time it's my turn. Didn't mean to babble too long here, Tim. KA6PDQ.
Oh, no, it's okay. All good, Kevin. All good. Good questions, good observations. Yes, there was the ATV-3, which I was on the fence and did a remarkable job, in my humble opinion. The R4 Cushcraft was over on an island, and I don't know if it was the fact that it was in parallel to and fairly close to a street lamp or what the situation was. Plus, I don't think it really had any radials to speak of, but we made a minimal number of contacts on that and eventually took that one down. It may not be a bad antenna, it may be just how we were using it. At this point, it's about 20 after, so I'm going to do a call out and then add people to the bottom of the list. Then we'll pick up in the list where we are now. So my name is Tim, and this is and my name, call sign is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, where all amateur radio operators are, all amateur radio operators are welcome to join. And if you don't want to join, you can just listen. We're happy with that as well. So anyone else that would like to check in, please call now.
Kilo Bravo 1, Romeo Alpha Yankee, Mark in Groton, no question.
Okay. Net recognizes Mark, KB1RAY. Any further check-ins? Okay, Mark, we'll get to you shortly. Right now we're going to go to the next person on the list, which would be Dave, KC1DCT. This is Net Control, KC1TWR.
Hi, well, good evening to all. K1DCT. Don't have much to add here. Missed out on the museum ships, just ran out of daylight. And as far as the 7100, I have no experience with it, but I do own a 7300 and am absolutely pleased with it, because it does not do UHF, and I can't ever say I ever even used it on 2 meters. But in the HF world, I am very pleased with the 7300. So that's all I've got. K1DCT, back to net.
Thank you, Dave. And I should mention, in regards to the museum ship's weekend for next year, we have been getting permission to stay later and what have you. Basically, round-the-clock permission. They do kick us off in the morning from about 6:30 to, or 6 to about 7:10. So what we ended up doing was we would work into the night until about 11:30, 12 o'clock, and then come back again at 7:10 in the morning. So don't worry about the daylight. Come on down. And next year, I think we're going to set up a and announce a VHF station so that those that want to come in, you know, can call us in case they have problems at the gate. Okay, and now we're down to Josh, K0JEB. This is Net Control, KC1TWR.
K0JEB, thanks, Tim. Good evening to everybody on the net. While everybody was chit-chatting, I thought of a couple more things to mention about the 7100. Not only does it have the memory banks, it has, I believe it's 5 memory banks with, you can program 100 channels or 99 channels in each memory bank, so just about 500 channels you can program in it. And what else? Yeah, there's that. And it you know, has advanced features that you can set in the menus, but as far as the outer controls on the head unit, it's set up pretty simple. Has all the things that you would need on HF, such as adjusting the RIC control if someone was slightly off frequency and you didn't feel like saying something to them. It also has a DR mode, which is called, they call it the doctor mode, and it's a quick mode that you can push a button and switch over to the D-Star stuff, and actually there's quite a good network of D-Star repeaters here in the state of Connecticut, and on any given repeater, they're usually linked up with the Reflector 69 Charlie, and you're able to, you know, go from repeater to repeater and stay chatting. It's real big over in the Hartford County area, so it also works very well with a custom D-Star hotspot, such as the one that I built. And yep, the I as far as the let me reset the repeater real quick. As far as vertical antennas being more susceptible to the QSB, I do believe I read that somewhere, that vertical antennas, because of the polarization, are more susceptible to man-made interference type stuff. And that's also why some people venture into the magnetic loop antennas to try and get away from the interference altogether. And in my experience, at least with this radio on 160 meters, I can honestly say that I've noticed a lot less interference on 160 meters than any other band. So there's that too. So I'm just kind of rambling, and I don't have anything else to add, so we'll pass it on to the next person. KC1TWR, this is K0JB.
Yeah, very good. Very good information, Josh. Thank you very much for that. And who knows, maybe out of all of this, everybody's going to run out and buy Nikon 7100. I certainly used it a little bit while I was there, and was favorably impressed with it. About the only questionable thing I would say is, well, it only comes in black. You can't get it in any other color than black, but that's sort of like Henry Ford and his Model T. So, with that, we'll go on to Steve in K1V. This is the TipsNet, KC1TWR.
In K1V,
Josh, again, I appreciate it. And you're not rambling. You actually have a lot of good information. I've got a bad habit of pulling the trigger and not getting enough information, especially from local people on purchases and such. And I've recently actually just sold a whole bunch of stuff because I had so many things that I should have never bought in the first place. And yeah, I did do some stuff with I'm used to the ICOM, like I say, with the 706, it's got what I call a crisscross menu system. You do one thing in one menu, then you switch to another to finish it up, and it's just something that I've learned to manage. And I do have, for the next round, and it's not important by any means, but if I was just curious if you have done anything with, I know it has some GPS abilities, yeah, I guess you got to buy an external antenna or something, but if you've done anything with that or not. But on the vertical versus horizontal antennas, the only thing I have to compare with that, I actually have a, let me reset. I have what I would consider a full-size pickup, and I use a ham stick on that, especially for 20 meters. 40 I do okay, 80 is usable, but nothing to brag about, but 20 meters, it does very well. I have a very good mounting, grounded to everything, and it's right smack in the middle of the, you know, truck. I spent a lot of time getting it, and I do very well with that on 20 meters, and it is, I don't know, using the same radio inside on the dipole versus that, I do sometimes hear a little bit more noise, but it's almost as if I can hear more of everything, so I'm just getting more noise. I don't know if that makes sense. Back to that, NK1B.
Very good. Thank you, Steve. And I should mention, when we're during field day, one thing we noticed was that there was a lot of QRM, and it seemed to come in waves. And stations that would sound like Larry, WR1B, called in from Pennsylvania. He was 5'9 plus, very easily. Sounded like he was sitting right next to me, very close, too. And by the end of the conversation, he was sounded, I could have barely make out the fact that he was speaking. And so that's what would happen, is that people would come fade in and out over a period of time. So some of the QSOs became very quick in order to make sure and get the information across. Okay, Mark, KB1RAY. I don't know how much of all of this you've been hearing, but welcome to the net. And we'll turn the microphone over to you. This is the TIPS net, and this is net control KC1TWR.
KB1RAY. I've been listening for most of the net here. I don't have any experience really with the vertical antennas other than the one that Josh was connected up to there at the museum ship. It seemed to work pretty well. I'm starting to look into options to see if maybe I can try one out here if I have room or whatever. Josh and I had a small discussion about MagLoop antennas as well, so I've been looking into that because the antenna that I have here is, I just don't think it's working as well as it could be. A quick note for Josh as far as that goes, I had mentioned the G5RV Junior, and that is actually the antenna I used to have up. I now have a folded dipole set up. And, it's been not as good as I'd hoped. Museum ships, I definitely plan on attending again next year. Definitely a good idea for the sort of a 2-meter call-in frequency. Let me reset here. One of the stations that I got to talk to briefly, as the ship was actually an operator here in Groton, and it was interesting because he actually checked into the horizontal engineer's net a couple days later, and we had a short discussion there as well. I thought that was kind of neat. As far as the 7100, that's the only time I've ever used one, and we didn't really play with all the bells and whistles on it, but it seemed like a decent radio for sure. That's all I have written in my notes. So, KB1RAY, back in the control.
Well, thank you, Mark, and thank you to all those that stopped by the Museum Ship Weekend event and did help out, and more than help out, had a good time. Weather was definitely good for the entire event. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. That meets every Wednesday at 7 p.m., and we have this net is open for discussion by all amateur radio operators. You don't need to be a member of the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club. And at this point, we'll look for further check-ins. If anyone else would like to check in, please call now. And I think we'll go back up to the top of the list. And Kevin, you said you might have another item for discussion. I am waited with bated breath. KA6BDG, KC1TWR.
You got to be careful about that bated breath, Tim. Somebody might bite your tongue. What I was thinking, it was not unlike or unrelated to the conversation we've been having, which is a lot about HF. I just found myself thinking about contesting what was Field Day coming up, and I am not what hams would refer to as a contester, because about the only contest I participate in with any regularity is Field Day. But there are a lot of different kinds of contests. I know I mentioned on the race on that Sunday night that the VHF contest is coming up, and I forgot to check and see if it's this coming weekend or the weekend of the 15th. Not really sure. It might be this weekend. That's one I've played with just on FM phone, because you can make FM phone contacts on Simplex. With that contest, it goes from 6 meters on up, actually it's VHF, UHF, and whatever, but I believe they call it the VHF contest. It's also, I can't remember if part of the exchange is your grid square. It might be, because I know that it's something that the grid square hunters and the county hunters, to an extent, will use, particularly on single sideband, to pick up more grid squares, etc. So, it was just the idea, if anybody has done any contesting outside of Field Day, or if you have a favorite contest, or those who might have never done it and have questions, or folks who have stories. I guess my only story would be, we had a very well-known contester out in the Coos Bay area when I lived in Oregon. His name was Tim, can't remember his last name, and his call sign, I believe, was November Oscar 7 Foxtrot. And he was a big boy when it came to contesting. He was well known across the country. I think he has since moved up to Alaska, I think, and he has a different call sign now, I believe. But what he used to do, and I suppose the big contest stations, maybe they do this more commonly than I realize, but he would invite hams from the area and the local club to come up and come up to his shack and operate with him slash for him during whatever contest he was interested in working that particular weekend. And I did that once, and boy, was it a whole lot of fun. It really was. And, of course, these contests tend to be very rapid fire, and you have to get kind of quick, and you have to really use your ears.
and you have to get your mouth connected to your brain, which is very difficult for people like me. But any comments, questions, memories, thoughts, bepuzzlements about contesting? How's that? See, I could have done it in 10 seconds. KH-60G back to net.
Thank you, Kevin, and that was the longest 10 seconds I've ever heard, but that was a good discussion. While you were talking, seeing as you only took 10 seconds, I did a quick lookup, and it is indeed this weekend, and it is part of the exchange is the 2-degree by 1-degree Maidenhead grid squares, and it is all legal modes are permitted. Let's see. Yeah, while CW and SSB phone are most common, you can also use FT8, FM only, PKS, PSK31, FSK441, JT65, etc., etc. So that's this weekend coming up. Okay, and we'll see what Dave thinks about all of this. And I know what I was going to ask. Dave, I know you're a CW person. I have a question for you or anyone else, really, but I think you may be able to give me the best answer. Even though I don't do CW, I bring my radio to places like Field Day, Museum Ship Weekend Event, and I'd like to make sure that if somebody stops by and wants to do CW on my radio, which is a Kenwood TX-480 sat, I'd like to have the correct equipment there. So I guess what would be the best type of CW, you know, a paddle or the paddles or a straight key, what would be the best thing to have on hand? So this is Net Control, KC1TWR, to Dave, K1DCT.
All right, well, very good, Ken. I'm not intricately familiar with your Kenwood, but I'm guessing it's of a modern era, so I'm sure it has a built-in keyer. I prefer paddles, and I think most people that operate a lot of CW prefer a paddle-type keyer. The old straight key is a great way to learn, to get it burned into your brain. But as far as comfort and speed, the paddle is far superior, in my opinion. It's what I keep on the bench. I have a couple of them, and I have a straight key or two kicking around that I use during straight key night, which is sort of a quasi-contest to lead into Kevin's question. I like to do a little contesting. The CW stuff sometimes gets a little too speedy for me. I like the mode, but sometimes my brain and my writing pencil don't sometimes connect at higher speeds. But I do like, I particularly like ritty contests, and there's a lot of those out there. And I usually go into the hunter mode. There's two ways to play. You can either pick a frequency and sit there and call, CQ, or you can cruise up and down the band and hunt. So that's my preferred mode of operation. And I like it when the exchange is short. You know, 599, Connecticut, or the year you were licensed or something, but some of them get into, you know, the exchange is my call, their signal report, my signal report, their shoe size, my shoe size. You know, it's like 15 things to put in the transfer of information. I lose my very short train of thought after a little while. So, but contesting can be fun. I am not a dedicated contester. I do like Field Day, but I do my own thing, operate for a couple hours on CW, QRP, and then I go away, because, that's my mode. One more thing. Tim, you mentioned about, Henry Ford and the Model T, and you can get any color but as long as it's black. That is a falsism. Model Ts came in many colors until they perfected the assembly line, and then they went with only black because the paint dried faster. So if you go to a car show and you see Model Ts, very likely you will see other colors, and it very well could have been before 1915. It very well could have been an original color besides black. Dr. Nett, K1DCT.
Well, very good, Dave. Good information. Thank you for that, both about the keys and about the color of the Model T. That was something I was not aware of, so that's good. I appreciate that. Okay. And we'll go ahead and go on down to... I'm looking at the time. It's getting close. Well, we'll continue down. Josh, K0JEB. Any further comments? This is KC1TWR.
KC1TWR is K0JEB. Let's see, about contesting. I've kind of won an interest in contesting. I haven't done so much. I've tried, but the problem with contesting is you have to wanna talk. right now I've been in the swamp where I tend to get on HF and I'll spin the dial and hear conversations, and I just sit there and enjoy listening to the conversation. I did try and do the winter field day a little while back, and I think for that one I had gotten something like 30 contacts. I've tried the bit of calling CQ on a frequency, which is okay, but if you don't have a fancy button on your radio that has it pre-recorded with your voice saying that CQ calling script, it gets kind of monotonous quick, so I tend to prefer, like what Dave said, hunting. I like to go around, find someone else calling CQ, and try and get my call sign in there. Get a little discouraged sometimes, but I usually keep trying to get through a pile-up. I figure sooner or later a pile-up is going to go away, and I'll be the last man standing still throwing my call sign out. So, and I still have the street keyer that Dave gave me. I had hooked it up to this radio, and let's just say... I'm just not there yet. I've got a practice mode that I can do on the radio where it'll put the tones out without transmitting, and I've tried that, and listening to CQ audio tapes while I'm going to bed to try and force it into the cranium there, but... yep, and interesting fact about the Model Ts, the wood frames are very delicate when you go to replace them. If you get the wood cut and put it on the concrete floor or some sort, you have to put weights on it to keep the wood from warping. My wife helped my father-in-law restore. I think I'm out of time here. Let me reset. Restore a Model T, and I wasn't aware that it was available in other colors before 1915, so that's pretty cool. That's about all I got. KC1TWR, K0JB.
Well, thank you, Josh, and more information about Model Ts. This is an interesting net tonight, I'll say that much. Yeah, and contesting, I'm we used on your radio, we did do some recordings so that we were able to kind of mix it up, sometimes do a live call out and sometimes just push a button and have it give the longer, lengthier call out for the Museum Ships weekend event. And I think that worked very well. Okay, we'll move on to Steve, NK1V, and your thoughts about contesting or anything else. This is KC1TWR.
NK1V.
Yeah, I do. My
experience with contesting, I usually do the listening, and I gotta listen. I don't think I've ever called CQ on a contest. I have for DXing and stuff, but never on a contest. But I'll usually, if there's a lot going on, I'll try to figure out what's going on and help those and run a log and everything like that. I have actually done a couple hours on various contests and then forgotten about it, and then a week later gotten an email from the, you know, the whoever assembled them or whatever, asking me to send my log. And I thought that was the kind of actually kind of a nice thing that someone actually cared that I was listening. I do like to do the QSO parties, like the state QSOs and stuff. The software I have is very easy for that. You can just, you know, load them all up there, and it just, you know, you have everything right there, so you really don't have to do much. And I always find those enjoying, you know, because sometimes there'll be, I don't mind a little bit of chatter, you know, about, you know, what's going on and stuff like that. Let me reset. The people are usually less aggressive. You know, I like mostly doing voice, mainly because I am not capable of doing CW yet, although I'm working on it. What else was I going to say? I guess that's it for that round, because I can't remember the rest of what was in my little mind. Back to that, NK1B.
Okay, thank you, Steve. And good information. And take all different kinds of contests and parties and whatnot out there. Something for everyone. That's the way I look at it. And we'll go ahead and move on to Mark, KB1RAY. Your thoughts. This is KC1TWR.
KB1RAY. Well, I'll be honest, I kind of forgot about the VHF contest this weekend. I know it's been mentioned a couple of times on various nets and things like that. But I am going to at least attempt to listen to 2 meter sideband during the contest. So you might hear me check in the nets on a different radio. Since I'll be using this one for that, since it's the only one I have that can do it. I went to add the contest to my calendar here, 8 through 10 June, and I'm looking at the calendar, and 8 through 10 June is a Monday, Tuesday, and a Wednesday. And then I realized that I'm looking at 2020 because I was plugging in the Museum Ships weekend tentative date for next year. That was the last thing that I did on my calendar, so gotta pay attention to that. That's all I have really for notes. Hope everyone has a good rest of the week, though. KB1RAY, back to net control.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mark, and happy hunting over the contest this weekend. Okay, at this time, we'll do another call-out. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club, TipsNet, looking for further check-ins. Please call now.
Good evening, Harris. Whiskey 1, Julia, Oscar, Papa, W1JP, City of Groton.
Net recognizes John, W1JOP. Further check-ins, please call now. Okay, John, we're going to give you instant service. I don't know, hopefully from what I remember from past weeks, you've been making your dinner and hopefully getting some nutrition into you while you've been listening. What are your thoughts or comments about either contest, ICOM 7100s, straight keys, Model Ts, etc.? This is KC1TWR.
Well, I started my life as an amateur radio operator with Technocode, and you know, I just never really got into that aspect of ham radio. As far as contesting goes, when I was on 6 meters, I used to do that quite a bit whenever there was a contest on 6. Right now I'm kind of limited to VHF, UHF, minus 6 meters, so I'm really limited as far as what I can do. Anyway, I'll turn it back to that. This is W1JOP.
Okay, looking at the time, I think we're going to go into the second section, and how we're going to run it this evening is because we didn't have a final round for that first section, so we'll kind of treat this as a combination. We'll go through the list, and everyone will have an opportunity to list any events or items of interest that they'd like to bring to the second section of the net, and finish off any comments about anything else that we've been talking about. So with that, we'll start at the top of the list. KA6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
I wasn't ready for that. I had to come running for the rig. not too much. Just one of the other things that's kind of fun to think about and dream about and stuff is special event stations. And it's real easy to set up a special event station, administratively anyway, on the other hand, it depends on how big you want to go. I set one up for a Coast Guard cutter out on the West Coast. It ended up being a lot of work, but a lot of fun. But you can do very simple ones. The trick is you really want to get them well published so that you have lots and lots and lots of contacts. You kind of have to plan it like 6 months ahead of time so you can get published and everything. But you can do a special event station for SailFest or a special event station for, you know, the anniversary of your town or anything, as long as it's of a non-commercial nature. So that's something fun to talk about another night. KA6PDG. Thanks, 73.
Thank you, Kevin. Good information as always. Okay, we'll move on to Dave, K1DCT. This is Net Control, KC1TWR.
Very good. Good evening again. This is K1DCT. It's been kind of interesting tonight. A little everything. And Tim, when you said CW keys and Model Ts, it kind of made me think about you know, that song from The Sound of Music. These are a few of my favorite things. Although I don't own a Model T, I certainly would entertain the thought if one came across. So, and then that could be a special event station in itself. You know, operating CW from a roadside in a Model T. Give that a little thought. K1DCT, back to net.
Yes, indeed, that does conjure up some interesting thoughts and possibilities. Well, okay. I like that idea. Okay, next we'll go to Josh, K0JEB. This is KC1TWR.
It's K0JEB talking about the Keyers and the Model Ts. Reminded me of a picture I saw on the ham radio group on Facebook. It was a picture of a older car with the very first primitive form of communications being for distractive driving, and it wasn't a cell phone. It was a CW keyer mounted on the dashboard of the car, and I thought that was quite humorous, so I just wanted to share that real quick. And I hope everybody has a good night. 7-3s to the group, and KC1TWR, this is K0JEB.
Thank you, Josh, and that's got me wondering. I wonder in these modern vehicles if anybody's ever taken a set of CW paddles and mounted them in such a way that they could chatter away while they're driving. I don't know if that would come under distracted driving or not. I don't know. It'd be an interesting thought. And for thoughts on that and other matters and any other announcements or items of interest that he may have, let's turn to Steve. And K1V, this is Net Control, KC1TWR.
And K1V, that's actually something I've thought about. If I ever learn CW good enough that I can use it, I'd like to be able to rig something up on the seat, do something somewhere where I could use CW, not necessarily while driving, but, you know, sitting in traffic or something like that, just for actually, I've done quite a bit of research on that. And the, Kevin had mentioned the, event station, stuff like that. That's one thing I do like to, I don't think I mentioned that last round, that's when I had the brain skip. I do like those, and question those who are, you know, doing the special event, because often they're very proud of what they're, on the air for, and, I'm usually interested in why they're on, you know, they're doing that, and that's always a nice little quick cue, so, you know, see what's going on with them. So, that's it for me. NK1V, back to net.
Thank you, Steve. Good thought, and be interesting, but I agree with you, it'd be interesting, you know, like I'm sitting at a beach in my car, though, so if I was to do CW, I'd want probably something mounted a little bit more permanently than holding some paddle case in my left hand while trying to operate with the right. And with all this chatter, let's go over to Mark, see what he thinks. KB1RAY, KC1TWR.
KB1RAY. Well, I don't actually have any additional comments. I did find Kevin's idea interesting, though. I'll say 73 to everyone. KB1RAY, back in the control.
Thank you, Mark. And we'll now go over to John, W1JOP, and see what if he has any final comments or items of interest to bring to the table. This is Net Control, KC1TWR.
Unfortunately, I don't have any items of interest, but as always, I do like catching to this net. I'm sorry, it's, you know, on average about quarter of eight, and I miss most of it, but you know, I do what I can. Anyway, back to that. This is W1JOP.
Well, thank you for attending when you can, John. And if you do want to catch up with what was being said and so forth, you can always go to the am1700.org/tipsnet website, and where Kevin so graciously has been recording the nets and posting them up there. So we definitely appreciate that. Okay, we're at the bottom of the list. I'm going to do another quick call-out before we go to the third item. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, this is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Now going to the third section. Is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or looking for amateur radio-related items? Please call now. Okay, that was the last call, and as we have no further check-ins, I'm going to close the net at this time. Like to thanks to all who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet, and thanks to all who stood by as we conducted the net. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month, which this month will be June 11th, at the American Red Cross on Route 32 in Montville. The meetings start at 7:30 p.m. and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club may be found at www.tricityarc.com. That's tricityarc.com. We want to thank John W1AN for the use of his repeater. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. Good evening and 73. KA6PDG, KC1TWR.
Hi, yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yep. I saw your email about the them working on your back door there, so it sounds like you said even though it's glacially slow, there is progress being made. And I just wanted to let you know that at the beginning of the net, your signal sounded a little squirrely, but then it cleared up. Not sure why. You'll probably hear it when check the recording.
Oh, okay. Thanks for letting me know. I will listen to that. There have been a time or two people have said I've not been the best into this repeater, and with everything going on out in the backyard and the structure that they built and everything, who knows? But I appreciate you mentioning that. And yeah, I've been looking forward to not only HF, getting back on HF, but getting the other antennas